you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Welcome to the Epiphany Radio program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. Both non-Catholics and Catholics alike are seekers, people who are looking for an epiphany, people who are looking for the truth, people who are searching for God. And if you ever thought about being on the radio, if you ever thought about telling your story, if you ever thought about if you've been away from the church and you're coming back into the church, or just a thought that you might make for good Catholic radio, something good for people to hear, we want to hear from you. So call the radio station, Holy Family Radio in Grand Rapids, and they will get in touch with us or get in touch with my producer, Luke Zemlich, and get in touch with him, and we'll talk to you, and we'll see if it's maybe something that people would want to listen to. So we're glad you're with us here today, and we have a couple of special guests with us, Joyce and Paul Beattie. They're with the they're at St. Monica's Parish, but they also work. Joyce works here at the Newman Bookshop, and of course that's where we're broadcasting from. That's where we tape our shows. If you're ever interested in coming down and watching us do our radio show, you're more than welcome to do that too. So always call in advance, and if you want to sit around and watch us do our radio program, you can do that. So Joyce and Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Deacon Louis.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you both here. Very wonderful. And we're going to kind of hear your story, talk about your ministry, talk about your life, talk about even if the Holy Spirit moves you to talk about this or that. We'll talk about that too. But you guys have been known in the community for a long time as very devout Catholics. You have visibility. We see you down here at Newman's Bookshop. I see it sometimes at daily mass at St. Augustine's, and I've seen you, of course, St. Monica's is your parish. But who would like to start first with your story?
Well, let me start, but let me get the let's get everybody's attention.
Okay.
Joyce and I have been married 42 years, 7 months, and a few days. Raised 5 children.
Very good.
The 4 oldest are married. We have 19 grandchildren.
Nice.
And what I want to get your attention with, thanks be to God, they are all walking in the Catholic faith.
Praise
all
God.
Faithful.
Praise
sons
God.
And daughter-in-laws, grandchildren. And we're grateful for that, blessing.
You bet.
What prompted this interview was that the general manager, Robert Muldarink of Holy Family Radio, suggested that I share a little testimony that I had, and that's my involvement in Catholic radio. My first introduction to Catholic radio was back in 2007 when we received a mailing from the Catholic Radio Association asking for money.
Yeah.
Steve Godosik.
Surprise!
Steve Godosik, the president of that group, works with Catholic groups, individuals around the country to try to establish Catholic radio stations. And so that's the primary is ministry, primarily the ministry. And, of course, he's asking for money, and, well, we pledged some money and sent it down and to do some engineering study for a station down in Alabama. And other people's funds went to other places around the country.
Sure.
And that very fall, Steve Godosik invited the donors down there to walk through EWTN studios and meet the people down there. And it was sort of wine and dine us for 2 or 3 days. And it was
wonderful.
A very, very good experience.
Yeah.
And this is where I met Cheryl Doyle, the president of Holy Family Radio. When we returned home, I found out that Craig Martin, an attorney here in Kalamazoo and also a person who has been very supportive of the Newman Bookshop and the Catholic Information Center here in Kalamazoo, I knew he was involved and he was doing some work on getting Catholic radio established, so I just sort of stepped back and didn't do anything on my own other than pray. And so for the next few years, I just prayed for things to happen.
Yeah.
And then in 2008, Craig had applied for 2 FM radio station licenses from the FCC, and it was at a point of getting these submissions in, and he called for help, and I helped him for a few days and what I could do. So now years go by, and finally the FCC responds, and 2 FM station permits are received. And Craig eventually turns those over to Holy Family Radio to get up on the air, because why duplicate the efforts of a studio and experience since Holy Family was already getting fairly established.
Absolutely.
The next thing was in spring 2012, Bishop Bradley and his staff and Holy Family Radio and some other individuals in Kalamazoo met at the diocesan offices to talk about Catholic radio. And it was at that point on I started taking some interest in helping spread the word in our diocese. And I wrote letters to people who I knew had money, or I hoped they had money,
right.
Businessmen. And then we tried to contact, I worked with Robert Mulder Rankin in meeting with priests and deacons to try to spread the word throughout the diocese.
Sure.
But it seemed like things were going slow. That spring, even before this meeting, Bishop Bradley had participated in the fund drive on Holy Family Radio, and he has pretty much since then. The twice a year fund drive.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so things are going slow. And then come September 2012, I learned that the priest and deacon's convocation was going to have Dr. Ralph Martin be the presenter at their convocation.
Right.
But I found that out only the day before. Now, I had met Ralph about 40-some years ago, and we sort of on a hi-how-are-you relationship
sure.
there whenever we'd see each other. And so I think, well, how can I get a hold of Ralph? And so I attempted to. I searched the Internet, searched his ministry, the Renewal Ministries, for a phone number, a contact, email, anything. Couldn't find anything.
Really?
And just
wow.
hours are ticking off, you know. This,
yeah.
this is late, the afternoon of that day. But I did know Sister Ann Shields. I had met her, too, 40-some years ago.
Okay.
And
she's on Catholic Radio, too.
She's on yep. Catholic Radio, and she's involved with Renewal Ministries. And
yes.
So I found her email address, so I sent her an email and asking her if she would pass this on to Ralph. So that maybe he could plug Catholic radio, because being a TV and radio personality himself, you know, I thought for sure he'd be able to do a good sales pitch.
Right.
So he did. And I found out, I met him the day after, or the evening after, the last day of the convocation. He was at St. Anne's Church, and he was doing a little presentation there. And so I had a chance to talk to him afterward. He confirmed that he had received my email and that he gave a good plug for Catholic radio and the efforts that we were doing in Kalamazoo. In the Kalamazoo Diocese. And then, a week later, I receive an email from Sister Ann Shields saying that she regretfully asked my forgiveness for waiting a week to open up the email that I had sent to her. So, somehow or other, Ralph Martin had gotten that email passed on. We don't know how, but the only thing I can think is the angels were cured.
Amen.
So,
yes.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Joyce and I are cradle Catholics and have been all our life. We've never really fallen away. So we're not converts, we're not reverts, or we're not any kind of verts. But so we would like to share our testimony.
You're just Catholics.
We're just, yeah. yeah. In very seldom in my life, one time in my life, I've been blessed by encouragement by one individual, and he was a Protestant believer back in 1972. He says, Paul, that must be beautiful to have been raised up in faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And not yeah. to be a convert or a revert or whatever other
right.
converts.
Right.
So Joyce and I would like to share our testimony.
That would be great. That would be wonderful. Joyce.
Well, it's kind of like there's St. Paul and St. John. St. Paul had the knock to the ground experience kind of conversion.
Right.
And St. John was a beloved disciple with his head leaning against the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, knowing Christ since the first time Christ called him.
Yes.
So we come in different ways. Well, I was baptized Catholic as a baby, and I was raised in an almost all-Catholic farming village where most of my father's relatives lived. And I'm the third oldest in a family with 8 children, all born within 11 years.
Nice.
When my mother was 3 months along with pregnancy for me, there was a danger that the pregnancy would be lost. She was needing gallbladder surgery, and she said yes to having the surgery, and I survived. And she chose the name Joyce because she wanted to express her joy that I was born,
yeah.
not harmed by her condition. I went to a Catholic grade school, and I learned and accepted that God created me, that he was almighty, he was all-powerful, he was all-good, he was all-knowing, and that Jesus was a son, and that I was really receiving Jesus in Holy Communion in first grade. And my first communion was a really special time with Jesus, and I still celebrate that date, May 11th, each year.
Wonderful.
And I'm grateful, then, for the Catholic faith that I learned, including memorizing the Baltimore Catechism and Our family went to church every Sunday that I can remember. And I enjoyed my brothers and sisters and still continue to appreciate them and our time together. However, my father did not express love in affection. I think he considered that the fact that he was providing for us was his expression of love. And I'm not sure how or when or why things went wrong in my parents' relationship, but our household became one of turmoil and arguing and fear. And when I was 8, my parents temporarily separated. And I lived with relatives of my mother and attended school for the remainder of the school year with cousins in another city. And 4 of my siblings also were farmed out to various relatives of my mother at that time. I felt like I didn't belong. I didn't belong in the school that I attended. I was probably in the way in my uncle's large family, but my aunt was really kind and caring. And after 2 or 3 months or so, my parents reconciled and tried to live together again. When I was 10 years old, a younger sister of mine had heart surgery.
Wow.
It was experimental in those days, and she only lived 3 days after surgery, and she died.
Oh.
And I clearly remember Jesus in my life at that time giving me peace when we were told that our sister had died, and that he would be with me and that he would be with my sister as well.
Yes.
Another encounter with Christ. Well, after that, my parents' relationship became worse, and I was very much afraid of my father, and I certainly couldn't risk approaching him or triggering another episode of violence or fear or abuse. And I tried to rationalize as a child does. I wonder if the fact that there were so many of us children in the family were part of the problem, and maybe if I wasn't around, it would be easier for the parents and the others. But I felt trapped. I had no confidence to go anywhere else, to run away, and I also felt protective of the younger ones. And I remember bargaining with God, praying Hail Marys and offering promises to do such and such to the Blessed Mother and to God for some heavenly help. And it wasn't working. My experience of family life was like trying to balance on a cracked foundation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rock chasm, and you never know exactly when it's going to widen, and the whole thing will crumble and collapse, and then what would happen? When I was 13, my mother obtained a legal separation from my dad, so we moved to where her relatives were, so she got support, and we became a much more peaceful single-parent family. So from the time I was 16, got my first job besides babysitting. I contributed to my mother's meager income for household needs. And since we moved to a different location, I was again searching to where I belong. I knew I didn't belong in the small village. I didn't feel like I belonged in the large city. That summer, I went with peers from the city that I just met to a small lake for an afternoon of fun. But I couldn't swim. I was only beginning swimming lessons at the city park pool. Well, peer pressure is strong. I decided that I wanted to go out to the raft where everybody else was and dive. I didn't want to be left behind or looked at like a baby. So I started trying to make my way to the raft, and I wasn't making it. I began to wonder what drowning was like, and I would go under the water, I'd kick the ground, go back up, get some air, go under, kick the ground, go back up, kind of wondering how long I could keep on doing that. Somebody finally found me, pulled me to the raft, and I spent the rest of the time on the raft figuring out, wondering how I was going to get back. Well, here I am anyway.
Amen.
But Jesus had his hand on my
life. We're glad.
In a special way.
Yes,
yeah. We had moved right before my last year of high school in the large city, and it was the year that the public schools were integrated. So I was introduced to race riots and police dogs in the hallways and policemen running around through the hallway and trying to keep order. And again, the tension and fear. I didn't feel like I wanted to belong there, for sure. I continued attending Mass at the new parish, but I was befriended by Protestant friends at high school. And I was invited to Friday evening coffee house settings downtown. And I appreciated being invited and belonging to a part of a group. And there was even one evening when a minister's daughter friend invited me to pray the sinner's prayer and give my life to Christ. So I did, for her sake, knowing in my heart that, well, I know Jesus, and I'm just doing it for you.
Sure.
And after high school, I began wondering whether there were Catholics who were interested in their faith. I considered leaving the Catholic Church, and I seriously prayed about what to do because the non-Catholic fellowship was very inviting, very strong. I was praying one time, and I got a mental picture in my mind that I was on this large boat, large ship, and everything was solid and steady and secure and peaceful and good, and Jesus was there with me. But in that prayer, it was like Jesus got up and started to walk toward the edge of the ship, and there was a raft off the edge, and he invited me to follow him to that raft. And I wasn't sure I wanted to do that because his experiences with rafts weren't so great.
Right.
But I wanted to follow Jesus, and I said in my heart, yes, if you get off the big ship, I'll go with you. And as soon as I said yes, I would follow you wherever you lead, just a peace came over me that I was not to leave the big ship, and now I realize that that big ship is the Catholic faith.
Amen.
And I've stayed in the Catholic Church then. From there, I heard that there were Catholics gathering for praise and worship, and that they're open to everybody, so I wanted to find out more. I went and investigated, and I began to see Catholics who had known Jesus personally and were filled with joy, and I wanted that kind of experience. There were explanations about it, and I went to those explanations, and then I had an opportunity for individual prayer. If I wanted to renew the Holy Spirit's action in my life, the Holy Spirit that I'd received at confirmation seemed to be put in the closet and not real active, and I was invited to let the Holy Spirit come in and be God in my life.
Amen.
So in that prayer, it was again like I was on a raft, and Jesus was this time standing above the water a distance away, and I couldn't reach him, but he was holding out his arms to me, and he was saying, jump. And what that meant in my heart was, will you trust me? Will you give your life to
right.
me? And when he said, yes, Lord, and jumped, it was like I was just filled with joy and submerged in Christ's joy and the specific knowledge, experiential knowledge, that he loves me and cares for me. So I released myself into his arms, and he caught me. And his love now to me is like that solid rock. I've gone from a cracked foundation to solid rock, and I know that he's loved me. In fact, that his love is what keeps me in existence. So if I ever doubt it, I just have to see if I'm still alive. And
right.
if I'm here, he loves me, because it's his love that's keeping me in being. And prayer is a conversation with Christ. And the Bible is no longer like it used to be, someone else's mail that I was kind of reading, but it's a love letter to me, and there's all kinds of levels that I can discover in it. So that's what I wanted to make known, is just that Jesus has made it possible for me to know God as a Heavenly Father. I even asked him one time, you're going to have to introduce me to your Father, because my experience of a Father is not something that
right.
I want to hang on to.
Sure.
And he's actually lifted unforgiveness from my heart, too, and resentment from my heart. And so I really love the Lord, and I want to share that love of Christ with others.
Beautiful. And, you know, such a beautiful story, Joyce. And you know, my dad had kind of a bad experience in his childhood, too, where his father basically abandoned them. You know, they were like 12 and 13 years old, and he just left. And I asked my dad, you know, some years later, I think I was probably 20 or 25, and he had told me the story, you know, because this grandfather, of course, my grandmother died when I was born in 1959. But I asked him, how did you become such a good father, such a good dad? And he said, I followed Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow. You know, very amazing. So, but your story also reminds me of the vision of St. John Bosco, where he envisions the ship. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yes, between the two pillars.
Yes, between the two pillars, the Blessed Mother and the Eucharist. And so just a beautiful story. Thank you.
Well, the ship is called the Bark of Peter, meaning the boat
yeah.
of Peter. Yeah.
Very nice. Beautiful. Church. So that's pretty touching stuff. Yeah. Paul, you got any comments?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
89 years ago.
Yeah.
My parents brought forth on this continent a new character, me. As the youngest of four children, baptized as an infant, given.
I always like the youngest. The youngest are nice, but the third oldest are good,
yeah,
too.
You know? Yeah. So I was even given a Catholic name, Paul James.
Nice.
BD. And then I chose Thomas as my confirmation name.
Me
and,
too.
And I've got feast days galore. My youngest daughter reminds me of all the feast days that I have to celebrate, realizing there are like 35 St. Paul's,
right,
numerous St. James, numerous St. Thomas's, and two St. Bede's, or St. Bede.
St. Bede, very nice.
He's a very famous Venerable Bede, which everybody knows about. Then there was another one who lived a couple hundred years later. He was a nobleman in English court in England.
Absolutely.
My parents, my mother was a cradle Catholic. My dad became Catholic out of Hungarian Reform, which was a Calvinist church, and he became Catholic at the time they were married. Their devotions or their prayer life at home or their faith in the Lord is pretty private. But we did go to Mass every Sunday, and we went to Mass every holy day. We went to, and we were one of the founding families of a new parish in my hometown. And since we were founding, we attended every church service as was available, which primarily was on Tuesday night, was the Our Lady of Perpetual Health Adoration.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was also Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and then Benediction. And we faithfully attended that for years, as long as was provided. I went to public school, had no Catholic high school education, went to CCD from up until about the eighth grade. Come high school, the high school class, CCD class, was grades 9 through 12.
Right.
I don't know, 30, 40, 50 students.
Everybody mixed together.
Everybody mixed together, and it was playtime. I just couldn't handle it. They were talking about Bible characters I had never heard conception of, because I had no really Bible training other than what I heard in the readings at Mass weekly. And so I was sort of out of it, and so I just excused myself for those 3 or 4 years, and I got a lot of A's in that class. A's for absentee.
Oh, okay.
Some, yeah. But there was one fellow who was my 6th to 8th grade CCD teacher, an older fellow, and he took some concern for me, and he invited me to every high school youth retreat, or we often went to the Franciscan Retreat House at DeWitt near Lansing.
Sure.
Several times, and he even took me to Notre Dame to the large men's conference that was going on back in the 1960s. Now, I always believed in God, never doubted that, never walked away from the faith. But as far as having any real personal experience, any real touch, I didn't know. I prayed, asked God for good grades in school, I remember.
Sure. Yeah.
or things like that. And well, sometimes it happened, sometimes it didn't.
Right.
But anyway, so I start college and I continue, of course, being faithful in the church. I never again abandoned going to Sunday Mass. Then after my 3rd year of college, the local draft board thought it was in their best interest to send me off to war. So I was drafted into the military during middle of the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Ended up spending time. I finished basic training and radio repair school, and then I was scheduled to go to Vietnam. But the week before I shipped out, the North Koreans captured the U.S. reconnaissance ship, the Pueblo. Some of you old-timers may remember that.
Yeah.
In international waters. So it was quite a dispute. And so anyway, things started getting heated between the U.S. and North Korea. And so I ended up in Korea rather than Vietnam. Life in Korea in the military was a Cold War situation. It was rather tense. Wasn't a very friendly place to be. And I was stationed out in the boonies, out in the boondocks with a group of about 100, 120 other men in our camp. And the only spiritual support I had is that Mass once a week on Saturday night. There were supposedly 35 Catholics among the 100-some. And every once in a while, 8 or 10 would come to Mass.
Right.
Most often it was 3 or 4. And about the only consistent ones was the priest and me.
Yeah, I think that's kind that holds true today.
So I was there to take attendance. But anyway, out in the boonies, there was nothing to do. When we weren't active with our work, the entertainment, the only thing that was available was drinking beer and going into the village to play with the prostitutes. Well, when I was growing up, I believed what our pastor spoke in his homilies, and I believe when the mission priest came and they had these fire and brimstone homilies and sermons, I believed them of all things.
Amen.
So I thought it was my best interest to walk the straight and the narrow. And so when I was in this situation in Korea, temptation was very tough. And so pretty much I was going along with just me and that priest once a week, giving some encouragement.
Right.
And then receiving communion once a week and receiving, going to confession. And I can look back now, is that's what gave me strength to stay out of that stuff,
okay,
to avoid getting into drinking habits and to avoid any fornication.
So that's a turning point in your faith, to deepen your faith, right?
Yeah. It was a real test.
Yeah.
And it was a choice. Well, I made a choice for Jesus.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
And from that on, I just see the beauty and the value and the strength that God gives us through the Holy Eucharist,
right,
through receiving the body and blood of Jesus. And it was that, and after I finished my military experience, I came to Kalamazoo to finish college at Western Michigan University. And again, it was this, I started going to daily mass and daily communion, and that's how I passed.
There you go.
That's how I got through.
Absolutely.
It was not my own human intelligence.
You bet.
Anyway, so I got involved at St. Thomas More Parish in Kalamazoo. During the following year, I meet a girl and have a crush on her, and it doesn't work out, and I got depressed. And what really disturbed me is I got depressed because when I was growing up, my old pastor said, Paul's got nerves of iron. And so I just, my nerves must have rusted out. I don't know what happened. But anyway, at that time, I really diligently started seeking consolation in the Lord. So I turned to prayer, to reading, going through every novena I could find. And I even started reading the Bible, which I hadn't prior to this time. And again, receiving, going to Mass faithfully. And out of that process, the Lord just, during that little depression and this my new searching, He starts to present some answers. He starts to bring my life, my spiritual life, in a new depth.
Awesome.
Well, it was in a few months later, which happened to be Friday night, September 23rd, 1970, at 6:20.
Joyce has got a different date. Oh, it's a date?
October.
October
23rd, 6:20 in the evening. I'm involved at the Exercise in Christian Living retreat at St. Thomas More Parish, and here Joyce is coming down the stairs. She's a visitor from Grand Rapids and is going to participate in the weekend.
Ta-da!
So immediately she catches my eye, and I speak. Please, paid special attention to
you
her.
You couldn't even speak.
What's
going on?
And that evening meal, first evening meal, she's sitting at my right hand. And, well, that's continued now for over 42 years, and
there
she's
she
at
is.
My right hand
she's
at this very
right
moment.
Again. Yes. Awesome.
So can I ask you, I got to interrupt you for just a second.
I got to ask you one question. So did you went ahead and sat right next to her? During the meal? I mean, this was a meal?
Yeah.
And so you made sure you got the spot next to her.
Yeah.
Well, and he was wearing beautiful suits, too, that he had gotten in Korea at inexpensive prices.
Right.
Beautiful suits. So he was well-dressed. And
so you noticed the nice suit he was wearing?
Well, that he was older than the other people who were kind of clowning around, and there was something about him that was kind of mysterious,
He seemed a little more mature, maybe.
Right.
What do you mean, maybe?
You must have been. Consider that you've gone through, all you've gone through, and you're working on your spiritual life, I mean, that's a big part of it, isn't it? I mean, for all of us, if we work on our spiritual life, we mature.
Yeah, exactly.
We become what God intends us to become.
Yeah. And it happened to be that I was the president of the student organization at the time, and so I had a special role in the parish. with the students, and so I thought it was my responsibility to care for our visitors, right?
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And I know if she, there might have been another female from that group from Grand Rapids, but anyway, like I say,
no.
There wasn't. So I take interest in Joyce, and then I think within a week I invite and ask her for a date, and that date I pick her up in Grand Rapids on a Sunday afternoon, and she has tickets to a movie, which happened to be The Cross and the Switchblade, which was a story about gang leaders in New York coming to know Christ. And so
wow.
I thought, man, this is good to see. And anyway, I pick her up at her house. We start driving across town, across Grand Rapids, and the clutch cable in my car breaks, disabled, stranded in Grand Rapids. Sunday afternoon, I had a foreign car. It wasn't going to get repaired in Grand Rapids on a Sunday afternoon in 1970. So anyway, I end up spending the night with her family. What an introduction, huh? So from then on, it's been great.
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention.
Yeah.
Okay, can I talk about our second date?
Yes, you can. Okay. Just a second here. In case you're just joining us, we're meeting with Joyce and Paul Beatty here from Kalamazoo. They reside at the St. Monica's Parish in Kalamazoo, but Joyce also works down here at Newman's Bookshop, and of course that's where we're broadcasting from. For the next few months here, we'll be broadcasting and recording here at Newman's Bookshop in downtown Kalamazoo. And we want to let everyone know to please come down here, support your local ministry, your local bookshop here. This is a shop that really helps bring people back to the church. You know, people who are even afraid to go to the church or afraid to talk to a priest or a deacon. You know, come down here. You can talk to the people down here. They have good advice. They will help you in any way they possibly can to try to guide you back into the church. Or if you've never been Catholic and you're thinking about becoming Catholic, please come down here, and we've got information down here that we can certainly help you with. So you're listening to Holy Family Radio and out of Grand Rapids in Kalamazoo, and please help support Holy Family Radio as well. So, okay, Paul, you're on again.
Second date. I'll turn this over to Joyce.
Okay. All
well,
right. Second date.
It was a Tuesday, and his car was repaired, and so he called from Kalamazoo saying he would take the between city bus to get his car, and could he see me that Tuesday evening? Well, in September, I had been really connected with Charismatic Renewal and the prayer group, and Paul didn't know anything about that. And they met on Tuesday evenings. And when he said, "Can I come up and visit you on Tuesday evening and spend the time with you?" I had a real dilemma. I really had a dilemma, because if I spent the time with him and ignored this new excitement with Christ, it was like I was turning my back on Christ and putting all my eggs in the relationship with Paul. And yet if I told Paul that I would be going to a prayer meeting, and if he wanted to see me, I would be there, I would be risking losing him. So I just paced back and forth in my room. What am I going to say? And he did call, and I determined that I would say where I would be. So I said, "Okay, sure, that'd be great to see you, but I'm going to be going to this prayer meeting. Would you like to come?" And he said, "Sure, why not? Okay." And I just breathed such a great sigh of relief.
Yeah, awesome.
So he picked up his car, and then Tuesday night.
Yeah,
after
I went
that,
to this prayer meeting. He had no idea. But when I was what was going on here. Anyway, at St. Mary's Church in Grand Rapids, we go over to the school basement. There's 200, maybe 250 people gathering with all kinds of excitement in the air, and all of a sudden the guitars start playing, people start singing, and for the next, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours, people are just singing praises to God, people talking about, like, they know Jesus, like he's doing miracles in their lives,
right.
and he's talking to them, and I all I could just see is, whoa, this is neat,
yeah.
But I was nervous because I know my hands were sweating.
Sure.
And I always like to sing, but I hadn't been singing for some time before this because of my little depression I was going through.
Okay.
But anyway, I could see this as an answer to my prayer, not only Joyce, but this
right.
experience. I continued to going to Grand Rapids over the next few weeks and to these prayer meetings, and also, well, obviously to see Joyce. So I had two attractions there.
Right.
Okay?
And this is the charismatic. This is a charismatic group, right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
In case people don't know, you know, people, it's a part that's in the church, just kind of like there's the Latin Mass, which is very subdued and very holy, and you know, that's it's kind of more quiet. There's the charismatic side of the church where people are jumping up and down. It's almost it's like a Pentecostal church, except we have the Eucharist and we have a priest there and so it's very exciting. So I just want people to know that.
Yeah, it really goes back to St. John the 23rd, Pope St. John the 23rd. Back in the early 1960s, he called Vatican II to gather all the priests and the bishops in the world to look at Catholicism and to restate it in modern terms. And he also, at the beginning of the council, he prayed that God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon the church in a new way, that He'd send a new Pentecost, that we would experience the power of God just like the apostles did back in the days of Peter and James and John and Mary when they were gathered at the upper room at Pentecost shortly after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. And so what began happening, not only the bishops were doing their thing, but what began to happen in the Christian churches in the 1960s was some new spiritual movement of the Spirit. And it hit the Catholic Church in 1967 at Duquesne University, where a group of Catholics were gathered one weekend at a retreat. And they were asking, why don't we experience the stuff like they did back in the Acts of the Apostles? Why don't we see miracles? Why don't we see this? Why isn't we seeing here miracles and healings and all this miraculous stuff? And it began to happen.
Right.
And from there, it spread to other universities. And eventually, Joyce and I get involved in made contact with this like 3 or 4 years later. And so, whoa. And so, you know, I had heard the gospel message before, and I heard a lot about Catholicism, even though I didn't have a, you know, real formed education in it. I continued going to these prayer meetings, and those prayer meetings, the leaderships put on little seminars. They call it a Life and Spirit seminar, where they would just talk about the basic gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us. Jesus Christ, His Son, was sent into the world to die for our sins and for us to be our Lord, and that He would send His Holy Spirit in our lives to transform us,
Amen.
To make us different people.
That's right.
And so I saw the gospel message now. So all the Catholic stuff, you know, a lot of us Catholics, just there's so much there, saints and Marys and Mass, the sacraments, all kinds of history, all kinds of culture, all kinds of baggage that we have, and yet we lose track of the important thing in that is the person of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the Amen. Head of the church. Jesus is our life. Anyway, as I was going through the seminar, I asked the Lord to be the Lord of my life. As an adult,
Amen.
Lord, I've tried doing it my own, so I got frustrated, you know,
right.
And this little depression was part of that, okay,
sure.
I'd experienced earlier. So I asked the Lord to be the Lord of my life and to be my Savior. And right then and there, from then on, for the last 40-some years, Jesus is a real person. He's not history.
Right.
And Jesus revealed to me the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a totally unique person. Jesus introduced me to the Father.
Amen.
God the Father. Up until this time, well, God was God.
Amen.
Right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit somehow or other, and they were just on the other side of the universe. But now, as a son of Him.
Yes.
And whoa, this is cool.
The entire Trinity.
Yeah, and then thereafter began seeing little miracles in our life, began to see spiritual things happen, began to see what obviously was the work of angels taking care of situations in my life, in our family life, in our marriage. And it's been beautiful.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Amen.
Okay, Joyce.
Well, when we became engaged, and there was a real fear that I had because of my parents' marriage breaking up,
sure,
whether I should get married and if the same thing would happen to me. And Paul and I talked about it, and he reminded me that we would have a different foundation, that Jesus Christ would be our foundation. And then we did get married, and time went on, and when it came time for our 17th or 18th wedding anniversary, we were invited to a marriage retreat, a weekend retreat. And
okay.
It was around the number of years that my parents' marriage had lasted. And as it got closer to that retreat weekend, I just dreaded going because I felt like something was going to be unearthed in me that would break up our relationship.
Oh,
and
okay.
I went to the retreat dragging my feet to be there. There were wonderful talks. And Saturday evening, there was a time for individual prayer as couples, too. When the team couple was praying over Paul and I, in my mind it was like I was on this track where there's all these obstacles and you have to jump over the obstacles. And those were my hesitations about whether our marriage would fall on rocks. Well, the woman had no idea that I was thinking that in my heart, but in her prayer she said, Lord, just speak in Joyce's heart, and let whatever is blocking her love, your love from coming to her, fall away, and just conquer everything that is in the way. And as she prayed that, just a real peace came over me, and my mind's eye, all those hurdles sunk into the asphalt, and I could Beautiful. Run the race, you know, with Christ's help. And God has been the center of our marriage. It's been wonderful.
And that's a very powerful experience, too, to have people pray over you.
Yes.
And people don't realize that, you know, you can do that. As a believing Catholic Christian, you can pray over people. You know, it's okay to do that. And it's very healing. Just that, you know, of course you want to ask them permission. You know, can I touch your shoulder? Can I put my hand on your head? Not that you're going to, you know, say any weird things, but just to pray, just in a calm, considerate, loving way for, you know, 30 seconds or a minute. It does great things for people. Mm-hmm. It has such a calming effect. Many times we just say, well, I'll pray for you, you know, or I'll pray for you. And it's like, okay, that's over with. But when you say, can I pray with you right now? Mm-hmm. You know, can I put my hand on your shoulder and pray with you right now? That heals people. That lifts doubt and fear and all those things. And I can really see how that would happen with, you know, that year marker, you know, 17 years. Now, did you have teenagers then? Kids?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that, I remember our marriage, that's a tough time in marriage. When you have teenagers, because you're, you know, the dad has got his ideas and the mother has her ideas on how things should be handled and situations should be handled. But the key is that it's a balance of both. It's a balance of both of those ideas. And sometimes there has to be a little give and take on both of the parents and hopefully on the teenager's part too. But it's difficult. It's a difficult time.
Yeah. During our 13 months of engagement, before our marriage on May 13th,
okay.
The feast of our Lady of Fatima, right?
Amen. Very nice.
Anyway, Joyce and I, as she was mentioning that, there must be another way we can raise our family. And so we studied, during our engagement period, we studied a book called The Christian Family, written by Dr. Larry Christensen. And what it was is a biblical description of the roles of men and women, how to raise children, and how children to respond to their parents, and so on and so forth. And it particularly was mostly, a lot of based on, again, on Scripture, but some of the key points was from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6. And this is a secret. Don't tell anybody about this, okay? But this is a secret.
Okay.
Okay. On her wedding banner, back in the 1970s, it was popular for at weddings for the couple to make a little banner to hang up in church next to the altar, you
okay.
know, to spread your message to the world.
Sure.
And what we chose was from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, which reads, "Give way to one another in obedience to Christ." Let me repeat that. Yeah. Give way to one another in obedience to Christ. Well, we thought that was pretty cool. You know, maybe this is a secret. You know, I sort of understood it as, well, you know, if I let my wife have her way, things will go sweet.
Sure.
If she lets me have my way, things will go well.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that first year of marriage, the Lord sort of made it clear to me and during my prayer time and just life, he's saying to me, gave me a new understanding what that really meant, that to give way to one another in obedience to Christ was for us to let Christ have his way with us.
Right.
And for me, as a husband, to act like a husband, to be a husband, and do the things that a husband is supposed to do. And for her, to fulfill the roles of a wife.
Right.
And they are unique. They are not the same. And that's the secret.
Yes.
That's the secret.
And accepting that they are different. In case you're joining us, we're meeting with Joyce and Paul Beatty. They're at St. Monica's Parish here in Kalamazoo. And Joyce, of course, has worked down here at Newman's Bookshop, and they're joining us telling their story, their beautiful story here of their faith, some of the struggles that they've had, some of the good times and not so good times. So we're glad you're with us here today on the Epiphany Radio program here on Holy Family Radio. So let us continue.
So a few years go by, you know, one child comes after the other, and you eventually have five children. And about the same time the fifth one was born, you know, up until that time, we tried to manifest Jesus to our children. We would pray with our children. When our children would get hurt, I'd put my hands on their head. They had a headache. I'd say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. They would be healed. They'd run away, back, go play again. And then even there was an occasion where Joyce, during the third pregnancy, fourth pregnancy, was very uncomfortable. Her back had some serious backaches. And I'll let her talk about that.
Okay.
I went to the doctor, and it was shown that my pelvis was tipped, and I had back problems because that my pelvis was tipped, and one of my legs was shorter than another. There was an evangelical preacher who came to Miller Auditorium for a faith healing service, and after his message, people went down to the front and were prayed with for whatever it was on there bothering them. And I was too chicken to go down for healing in front of all those people. But I knew that I had backaches, and one of my legs was shorter than the other. And we went back home, and I thought, doggone, I missed my opportunity. And if Jesus is at Miller Auditorium, and if he's in my heart, right, then he's right here and where I live in my house, too. So I asked Paul to pray with me then, and I was sitting on the bed with my legs extended. And he prayed for my leg, and there was a buzzing kind of feeling, and it extended. And I never had those back problems after that. And,
wow.
And that particular child that I was pregnant with at the time was blessed, too. And as she grew up, she's been most open to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord, in ways maybe that the others haven't been quite the same. So we're real grateful for that. God is real.
Isn't that
God
amazing?
Is with us.
That is really great.
Also, from the beginning of our marriage, we realized we couldn't do it alone. I mean, we couldn't just be a little husband and wife, and that's
right.
It. We sought. In fact, we put a lot of energy in building small Christian community with other folks, other families who wanted to do the same thing. And it was a blessing for it was a 21 years that we profited from that relationship of having a small group of people who wanted their children to be raised in the church and
yes.
wanted their children to know the Lord.
Yes.
And so we had pretty much the same goals. And
especially as the children were teenagers and peer pressure is so strong that our children are 10 years apart from oldest to youngest. And so there's a time of 14 years when we were either bringing them or sending them to youth conferences during the summer so
right.
that they would see that there are so many peers around them who want to be holy, want to know Christ. And one time I was giving a talk somewhere, I mentioned negative peer pressure in my own experience of going out to the raft and trying to swim. And I mentioned that, and my son said later, he said, you know, Mom, peer pressure isn't always that bad. It's always not always negative. When he was in college, the university that they went to, Franciscan University Steubenville, does a semester in Austria, and it's a much smaller campus, much smaller student body. And he said that there, he had been kind of struggling with his relationship with God and wanting to be Catholic or not. But the peer pressure there was that everybody was going to daily Mass, and everybody was talking about
okay.
Christ and growing, trying to grow in their prayer life and knowledge of Jesus. So that good peer pressure influenced him, and he
right.
started going to Mass more often and
yeah.
trying to figure out what his place was in his relationship with Christ. So yay for good peer pressure, too.
Yeah.
We wanted to surround our children with
yeah.
those settings, and so as a strong youth group. And today yeah. I look at the homeschool groups and the strong family support. And plus, I've also been involved in Familia USA, which is sponsored by Cana Family Institute in Minneapolis. We've been in Kalamazoo Diocese about 17 years, and we study church teaching. And there's a track for mothers of young children. There's a track for husbands and fathers. And the support that has developed among those families who are participating is just marvelous. Not only learning the beauty of the roles of women and men and the beauty of family life, but also the encouragement from other families, too, and sharing ideas and calling each other on and just benefits in marriages and family life are great.
Yeah. Fantastic. Now, does that organization, does that still exist here in
the
diocese?
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
We start
okay.
in September each year, and it's a four-year track, basically, because there are four different studies you can take
okay.
part in.
Very good.
And starts in September, goes through typically April or May.
Okay.
About every 2 weeks or so the meetings are. And
so can they call down here to the Newman Bookshop downtown Kalamazoo and get information from you on that? Awesome.
Leave a name and phone number and get contacted as it starts up again in the fall.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, the first men's group just started this fall. And
okay.
they're studying St. John Paul's letter on human work. And so the men looking at the work, and we have a group of about 12, 13 professional men
okay.
who are getting something out of this.
You bet.
It's real meat.
Do you have that at St. Monica's?
It's at the Right now, it's alternating between the homes of the
men. Okay, so it's kind of a home
study
group.
And it's cross-parish. It's cross-parish. And so,
okay, very good.
Yeah, so it's basically the men's is just getting started here. And,
awesome.
And I assume in the maybe in the spring or fall, we'll be able to expand that.
Well, it's really needed. It's really needed. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show, but it's really needed, these individual groups, home study groups for both men and women, to really help support them in their faith, support them while they're raising their families, you know, just to hear from people, and sometimes people who have raised their families, to talk to the people who are just starting out, you know, who don't have anybody around, or they've had, you know, bad experiences, the negative experience my father had with his dad, you know, and, you know, that just crushed him. And I was just like, wow, it's just amazing. And the many stories that I hear from so many people that have recovered from situations in their family where, you know, and you never know what happened to them. That's what I always think about. You know, sometimes it's so easy to blame. But if you just step back and you go, I wonder what happened to them. I wonder what happened to my dad or my grandfather or my great-grandfather that affected them, that made them make the choices they made, you know? So I think it's a good idea for us to be merciful, too. So let us continue on.
Yeah, thinking about raising families. And
yes.
I know there's a lot of parents out there, and perhaps grandparents, are frustrated that their children or grandchildren have walked away from the church. But the only encouragement I have to offer on that is that, remember, God does not have any grandchildren. God only has children. And so each generation has to choose the Lord for themselves.
Amen.
What we can do as parents and grandparents is continue to pray.
Amen.
And through the example of our own life, to show the beauty and the riches of knowing Christ in being active in his church.
And I think it's important for us to tell our kids. I know I've told all my kids, you know, you don't belong to me. I'm not your property. I mean, you are not my property. I'm not, you know, I'm responsible to a certain extent to, you know, keep you healthy and you know, take you to the dentist office and take you to church and things like that. But once you become older, you're responsible for your own accountability to your Creator. And your Creator is God. Whether you know that today or not, you know, you have to, at some point in time, take responsibility for your own space, you know, for your own life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll help you if I can, but you can't just lay it all back on me that if I didn't do this or I didn't do that. You know, some of these things you have to do yourself. You know, you have to get up in the morning and go to work. I can't call you every day and say, you know, you need to get up and you need to go to work. But just me telling my children that, us telling our children that, listen, your true Creator is in heaven. Mm-hmm. God, you belong to God. And you need to think about that. You know, if you belong to someone and they love you, you're called to respond to it. And, of course, many of us, unfortunately, whether because of bad situations or something, choose not to, you know, not respond at all.
Yeah.
And it's okay to let God into our hearts and know our true feelings. And
amen.
To be angry with God and to figure out what's going on in our life. We tend to communicate in words, but God communicates in events. And sometimes it's good to look through the events in our life and see where and how God is working. There was one year when our six-year-old was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. The same year, our three-year-old was diagnosed with developmental disabilities. The same year, Paul had an emergency appendectomy. And I was really upset. I was thinking, God, we're trying to follow you. We're trying to do what you want us to do and live your way. What the heck are you throwing this stuff at us for?
Yeah.
And someone in our parish who had been pregnant with twins, one of the twins died and the other twin was born healthy, shared with me that she learned to not ask why, but instead to ask how. How are you going to help me through this? How are you revealing your love to me in this? And another family expressed their key word was with. They came to realize that God was with them in the Christian community and the support around them, as it was for us, and also in the sacraments.
Wow.
That the key word is with, not why, you know, that God is with us. Because he certainly, as our Savior, experienced every negative thing that a human being could experience as well.
Amen.
One of the things, very beautiful. One of the things that's been a burden on my life and an experience that I've gained is that of generosity. that if we are Christian people and we are touched by the Lord, His Holy Spirit is trying to encourage us to be generous with our time, our energy, our life, and our pocketbook. And what I learned early on was that I found in the last chapter or the last book of the Old Testament, and don't tell me that was just for the Jews, but Catholics, we take the Old Testament and the New Testament. But anyway, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. Shall I not open for you the floodgates of heaven to pour down blessings upon you without measure?" This is the one place I know in the Bible where God says, try me, challenge me, Amen. See if I don't do something for you. And then Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into the fold of your garment. For the measure that you measure with will be measured back to you." Amen. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "Remember where your treasure is, there your heart is also."
Amen.
So,
very good.
You know, in regards to money, early on in our life, we started giving 10%. When I saw this, I gave 10% to the Lord, net. And then we gave 10% gross. And then on occasion, it's gotten up to 15 or 20%. Yeah. But anyway, awesome. God, you can't outgive God. God just blesses you
right. If
he doesn't return that financially. And we've never had any financial real crisis. But God has always provided.
Amen.
And I know it is because of that, taking him, trusting in him. Because I know one thing is that we are called to live by faith and we are called to give by faith.
Amen. In case you're just joining us, we're speaking with Joyce and Paul Beattie. They're with St. Monica Parish, but we're kind of talking about their whole life and everything that they've been through, the good and the bad. It's really been a beautiful conversation. We've got about 3 minutes left. And just a reminder also, you're listening to Holy Family Radio, and this is Deacon Louis Zemlich. This is the Epiphany Radio program. So we got about 3 minutes left. Any final words, Joyce? Or we can start with Joyce, and we'll end with Paul, maybe.
Well, I just encourage people to let God be God, to give
Amen.
God permission to enter into your life, even in the wounded areas, because you can trust Jesus. And what it means to trust is to affirm that they have your good in mind. Mm. When someone says they love you, it means that to love is to will the good of the other. For God loving us, He wills our goodness, our happiness, and He takes care of us. So make that jump toward Christ.
Amen. Beautifully said.
Two quotes from Thomas A. Kempis,
sure.
From his book, The Imitation of Christ.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
"For the man who does not seek Jesus does himself much greater harm than the whole world and all his enemies could ever do."
Mm.
And then, "The man who lives without Jesus is the poorest of the poor, whereas no one is so rich as the man who lives in his grace."
Amen.
Amen.
Very nice. And it is a great challenge, this man, Jesus Christ. It is a great challenge for all of us, including those who are Catholic, those who have been baptized, those who have received Holy Communion and received confirmation, and yet we do nothing with our faith. We still choose not to truly believe. And so we're asking all of you out there, if you haven't been to Mass in a while, please come home to the Catholic Church. We love you and we care about you and we want you to be the person you've always dreamed about being. But you can't do it alone. You can't do it without God, without the love of Jesus. So, Paul and Joyce, thank you very much for being here. It's been wonderful to hear your stories. And, you know, I always have a greater appreciation for people, and I think this is something that we should always engage in, is before you judge a person or you really get to know a person, ask them to tell them a little bit about yourself, you know, to really witness to them on a really deep level, a level of friendship, not just, you know, I want you to come to church with me, but tell me about, you know, to tell me about yourself. Tell me about a few things about your childhood. Tell me a few things about, you know, your early life. And is there anything that I can do for you to help heal you and bring you closer to God, because that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. So thank you for joining us on the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick on Holy Family Radio. May God richly bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zimlick, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, you can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.